I'd like to start out this morning by telling a story that I first heard from a professor when I was at Tocoa. A true story that the professor telling had lived through. It's one thing to read a story from a book. You don't know who it's about, but when you hear the guy telling it, he's telling it with passion and remembering what God did. It just brings chills to your spines. Anyway, Dr. Harvey grew up in MK in Africa, became a missionary himself then in Africa, and one time he was asked to go and pick up some new incoming missionaries. And I don't remember all the details, but he had to travel from his there tribal area he was working in through several tribal areas to get to the airport to pick up this family, which was in another African country. And I'm not remembering the names of the places. But Dr. Harvey, he got his helper, African helper, to go with him. They headed out in their jeep, and they left their tribal area and entered a new tribal area. And he thought to himself, wow, you know, I don't know these people. You know, I wonder what these tribal people are like. And they left that area and they went to another tribal area. It's like, wow, we're really in kind of a vulnerable place here. And in that area, they came over a hill and they started going down the other side. And just the jeep started doing weird things and got to the bottom of the hill and knew there was a big problem. And he stopped and got out and he was checking it. And he did not much of a mechanic. I was like, wow, this, something's not right. And he couldn't get it to drive. So he told his helper, you walk that way and I'll walk this and we'll see if we can find some help and hopefully find some friendly people. So he walked off a little bit and he sees this guy off in his field, garden or whatever. And so, well, you know these people aren't going to understand me. So he tries the tribal language that he's familiar with, and the guy just kind of looks at him like, who are you? And he's like, and he tried a pidgin language that they speak in the area, and the guy just looked at him like, whatever. And he's like, well, you know, maybe French, and there's a lot of French spoken in Africa. So he yelled out in French, and the guy just perked right up and came over, and they started conversing in French, just no problem. And Dr. Harvey said, you know what? I have a problem with my vehicle, and I was coming down the hill, and something went wrong. And, you know, there's three pedals on the floor. And the other guy asked him, I think, what's wrong with your vehicle? He said, well, you know, and he's talking to this jungle guy. He said, well, you know, there's three pedals on the floor. One you push to go, and one you push to stop, and the other one you push when you move this thing over here to make it go. And the guy's like, well, so what's it doing? And he said, well, when I push the one way over on this side to move the stick, he said, just nothing happens. And the guy looks at me and says, oh, I think your clutch plate's out. So what do you know about a Jeep clutch plate? He's like, oh, well, I was captured by the French and taken to Vietnam to fight in the war. And I was a Jeep mechanic, and that's what I did all day or day, replaced Jeep clutches. He's like, oh, really? So let's go look at it. So he went and looked at it, and he's like, sure enough, that's exactly what it is. He's like, well, you know, your best bet is to go on and get a clutch plate in the city where you're headed to pick these folks up. On your way back, you can get your Jeep. He said, well, how can I get there? He's like, well, you know, in 2 or 3 days' time, maybe somebody will come by and pick you up. And he's like, oh. And suddenly the African guy just takes off. He's like, what's going on? After a little while, the guy comes back with this wooden box. He said, what's in your box? He said, well, you know, when I left the army, you know, I stole this box and I didn't want to take something with me. And I remember there's a clutch plate in there. So the guy gets it out and cleans it up, and he had a pliers and a screwdriver. And he got the thing apart, got it running, and got him going down the road. And so he went on down, picked these folks up. And the family flew in from America, and they had bought some chickens that they were going to take along back. because they wanted to have fresh eggs. Dr. Harvey looked at him. He said, "You know, you have two roosters. One of those is mine." On the way back, they stopped and they gave the guy this rooster and said, "You know, thanks so much for what you did for us. And do you know how this all worked out? My Jeep broke down, and you were working in your field, and you knew French because you were captured by the French and taken to Vietnam. You knew how to fix Jeeps, and you even had a part because you brought along back with you. And you know how that all worked out?" He said, "No." So God planned all that. Before the beginning of time, God put all those pieces together. So he left the rooster there, and he left. A few years later, he was passing through that area. He said, "You know, I'll just stop." He stopped and found 7 churches in that area. Because God worked. Because God brought Dr. Harvey and busted his clutch plate and all the other details, and how God brought it all together to bring the gospel to those people in that, you would think, maybe God-forsaken place. But God cared. This morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 10. And this is a sermon I preached the other week in Mongolia. And this passage just spoke to me in a new way. Acts chapter 10, we have Cornelius and Peter. We have Cornelius being a Gentile, Peter being a Jew, and God bringing the two together and introducing the gospel, introducing salvation to people that previously didn't have understanding. I'll just read the first 8 verses to get us started. "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius.' Cornelius stared at him in fear. 'What is it, Lord?' he asked. The angel answered, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.' When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called his servants and a devout soldier who was attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa." So we have Cornelius. What kind of man was Cornelius? It says he was God-fearing. We see that he had open communication between God, open communication with God. He was a good person. He gave to the poor. He had every right as a person to be domineering and hard and rule with an iron fist. He was a military person. He was a Roman. He could do as he saw fit, but he broke that mold. He was a man of faith. When Cornelius got the message from God, he didn't say, "You know, let me pray about this for a few days and see, you know, maybe am I hearing God right?" He believed immediately. Just a man of faith. I was just looking over this again this morning and thinking of Abraham. God called Abraham, told him, go to a foreign land. So then he went. He didn't put out a fleece and then test God again, but he went. God told Abraham, "Take your son and sacrifice him." And early in the morning, he went. We don't always understand, but do we act in faith immediately and do what God is asking us to do. So are we like Cornelius? First, Cornelius is a Gentile. You know, so we can associate this morning's Sunday school lesson. I think we have a little bit of connection and with Thursday morning. We were talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and how God is making us into, call us into one people. So are you like Cornelius? Are you God-fearing? Do you have open communication? Is there communication going on between you and God to where God can talk to you? And if God does talk to you, do you hear it? Not only are you like Cornelius, but do you know a Cornelius? Are there people in your life that are like Cornelius? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you don't, probably not. Because if you did, they would have believed immediately, and they wouldn't be a Cornelius anymore. They'd be your brother. But there's people out there that we don't know, or that we do know, but they long to know God and don't. Good people who are seeking God, but they don't know Jesus. A lot of good people out there that seek after God. They think they're doing enough. They think they're good. But they lack a saving faith. Then we move on. Verses 9 through 22. We have Peter having a vision. And the blanket comes down with all the unclean animals. And Peter says, oh, no way. I'll never do that. You know me, God. I would never break the law. I'm a good person. You know, I've always done what you asked me to do. And three times the blanket comes down, and then God says, someone's at the door, go with them. And Peter understood. So first we looked at Cornelius and a little bit of his character. Now we'll look at this little section and, you know, look at what is God trying to say through this? God's saying, let's look at things my way. Peter had his way of looking at things, the Jewish way of looking at things that over the years and years and years, they had built up so much additional ways of looking at things, so much culture, so much. They become so ingrown that they were totally ignoring the Gentiles, and God was saying, you know, it's time that we look at the Gentiles, time we bring them in. And all through the Old Testament, it's interesting, one of my class in college was theology of God, and one of our assignments was to go through the Bible and find as many verses as we could that had God's link to the nations. We look at the Old Testament and you think, and we were supposed to have at least so many from each book of the Bible. So you think, well, in the Old Testament, you know, God cared about Israel. God didn't care about the nations. Well, you read Psalms and you read all through. God says, the nations, all people. Not when that any should perish. I mean, it's through the whole Bible. Every book of the Bible, if you look at it from that perspective, you can find verses where God's trying to tell the Hebrews, I care about everybody. I care about all people. But Israel was so inward focused. And here God tells Peter, let's look at things my way. Get outside. Don't care about what the people back in Jerusalem say. You're not supposed to eat with, you're not supposed to enter a home of an unclean person, you're not supposed to eat with an unclean person, you're not supposed to invite an unclean person into your house. All these things. Peter just like instantly just says, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. So look at Cornelius. Look at God. God saying, let's do things my way, not man's way. And then we look at Peter. Who was Peter? Peter was a person, he was an apostle. He was in ministry. He was a good person. Everyone looked up to Peter. He was doing great things. What else did Peter need to learn? He was successful. Now he's changing his mission strategy. He was doing just fine. He was sincere, but at least to a certain point, God says, you're sincerely wrong. You're totally missing my agenda. You're totally missing a whole group of people that I want to see in my kingdom. And amazingly, as hard-headed as Peter could be at times, he was open-hearted. It's okay. He went downstairs after his vision. He went down. He opened the door and said, I'm the man. Come on in. Tomorrow we'll go. And he embraced God's call for his life. So I'll read now. Starting in the middle of verse 23 to the end. The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law of the Jews to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objections. May I ask you why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and to do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him and hanged him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses who God has already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. So we have Peter going. And when Peter got there, he found people waiting, a large crowd of people. Cornelius not only believed that God had sent him a message and called his attendants and said, "Hey, guess what? I saw a vision and I'm sending you guys, go and get this man, listen." Like, he could have been laughed at. Like, what'd you do? Eat too much spicy food? But he believed. He not only believed in order enough to send somebody, he gathered them together the very next day. At noon, a whole crowd was waiting. He believed that Peter would come. And they were ready. And I just had to think about what was the heart of the people that heard the message. Let's see. End of verse 33. "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." They were waiting to hear from God. They weren't waiting to hear from Peter. They were waiting to hear from God. And they believed. Before he was even done speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them. In my mind, they believed before Peter got there. They were people of faith. They knew there was a God. They knew. But they just didn't. There were some missing links. There were some things, some blanks that needed to be filled in. And I just had to think, there's people out there that we can share with. There's different kinds of people. You can share the gospel with good people. Cornelius was a good person. And they can say, you know, "Well, I'm a good person. You know, I don't need a Savior. I'm a good person." But Cornelius wasn't that kind of a good person. He believed that he needed a Savior. There's people out there that are bad people. Cornelius could have said, "You know, I'm a bad person. I killed a lot of people. I'm a soldier. I'm always going to be a soldier. I don't need a Savior because I'm just going to sin again anyway." And just bluff Peter off. There's people out there in the world like that. There's people out there in the world that you can share the gospel with them, and they're all intellectual. And you'll prove it. Well, prove to me. Oh, so it says that Jesus appeared to, not to everyone, but just a few chosen people. Well, that sounds like a good cover-up. Prove it. Prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Everybody else says they took his body. And then there's people that hear and they believe. And Cornelius heard and he believed. Was it because Peter was a smooth talker? Was it because Peter... No. It's because God arranged all the details and brought all this into one event. At one time, at one place, at the perfect time, at the perfect place, and a large number. It doesn't say a number. How many people were at Cornelius' house? But a lot of people believed. And the Jews were astonished. I didn't know that these people could be saved. And I had to think, when I was looking over this passage and preparing a message to share with the folks in Mongolia. So I think, you know, how many times do we look at people and we think, you know, that person, he can't be saved. He's alcoholic. I mean, he can't even hear what I'm saying because he's on cloud 9, 99.9% of the time. Well, that person's too bad, or that person is too rich, or that person is too whatever. We have our minds made up. Who God's going to call? God's going to call these people. The people that look like this. The people that act like this. Those are the kind of people that are open to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. But God says, look at things my way. Don't take off all your blinders. and look at people through my eyes. So we need to be like Cornelius. We need to seek God and believe unreservedly. We need to be like Peter. We need to obey, even if it means going upstream. Even if it means that people don't quite understand what we're doing. We need to be like the people. We need to believe. And the more I look at the Bible and see the Bible as a whole, and God doesn't change. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament, but God's the same throughout. And there was before Christ and there's after Christ. And so now we're living in the time after Christ. But what about all the people before Jesus came? How are none of them going to be in heaven? Or how do they get in not knowing Christ? Now suddenly Jesus came. And now because Jesus came, no one can go to heaven unless they know Jesus. And Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. And as you see Abraham, he was saved by faith. He believed in Jesus the same way we did, just before Jesus. Before he knew who Jesus was, he believed who Jesus was. And you see Cornelius displaying that same faith. He didn't know who Jesus was, but if he did know who Jesus was, he was gonna believe. And it's that faith, knowing that there is a God out there. And how do we get into these people's lives to fill in the blanks? For Abraham, he's going to find out when he gets to heaven. Or did find out when he got to heaven. For Cornelius, he found out when Peter showed up. So who's the Cornelius around you? You probably don't. If it's anything going to work out anything like it did with Peter, you have no idea. Peter had no plans of going over to Cornelius' house. So it could be someone in your town, in your state, in your country, abroad. We don't know. But it's through being open to God, calling. When God says, go to Due West and eat at the Mexican restaurant. You say, why? I'm not hungry. Just go. Well, maybe. Maybe it's, you know, for me, I bump into people. Things go wrong a lot of times. It makes you meet somebody that you weren't planning on meeting. And you get into a conversation. How is God going to get us into that place to share with others? But it's being open to God's moving in and through us. So that's my challenge this morning to each of you. Be open to God, where you're at, what you're doing each day. That God would be able to use you. That God would be able to use others. It's through prayers that God breaks down the spiritual boundaries and opens people's hearts. And I still remember the family that we're working with in Mongolia. The first time I went over to, I call him Brian. I went over to Brian's house. I just felt like I should go to his house or his gear. And I just went in. I sat down and talked and had a nice visit. I was getting ready to leave, and there was nothing spiritual going on. I was just getting ready to leave. I said, okay. Guess I heard God wrong. Guess. And then something got said, I don't even remember what it was now, about religious He said, well, you know, I like shamanism, but my wife, she's Buddhist. And I just ask a few simple questions, you know. Does she know who the creator of life is? Well, no. Well, were they interested? Well, and I said it was Jesus, and they just lit up. And they said, oh, we were at a seminar one time about Jesus, but you know, we didn't understand what it meant. Could you teach us? And from there, now it's been almost 3 years that they began their journey of belief. And it's about being in the right place at the right time, listening to God. And sometimes the road is long and slow. And this only happened to Peter once that we know of, that he went, was called in such a dramatic way to go over and share with Cornelius. Paul was directed by God. But it's what God wants. God wants all people to hear about Him, hear the message. So, I was going to start by saying thank you, but I'll do that here at the end. Thanks so much for all you guys do for us, for your support from afar, for your prayers, the notes we get in the mail from time to time. But we know you guys remembering us. Thank you for the cards we got from those who sent cards after Zayden's passing. It means a lot to know that people are here and they remember us, and they couldn't stand physically beside us in our time of difficulty, but you were standing with us. We just thank you so much. It's the body of Christ that gives us that the strength, the comfort to know we're not alone. So I put in the back, I put prayer cards. There we go. A whole bunch of them at Julian and Elsie's. And so I put them in the back. There's a stack about 2 inches tall. So you probably got, I know most of you would have gotten one in your newsletter, but I know you just got one. So take one, take two, pass them out, play cards with them. We have plenty, and we'll be for too terribly long, we're making another one, so just don't start fires with them. Okay. And tonight, do we know what time? 6:30? So we're starting 6:30 tonight. And tonight, I'm going to do something different. I just wasn't feeling creative. I wasn't feeling like sitting down at the computer and making a presentation, so I don't have pictures. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to do something fun. We're going to play some games. So it looks like it's raining, so it might happen inside. The grass will probably be wet outside. So possibly, unless the sun really comes out, we'll probably be inside. But we'll just play some games. So wear casual clothes. It's great with me. If we do end up outside, something maybe that doesn't matter if you get a little bit dirty. Not major dirty, but so you're not afraid to fall on the ground, or just kind of some game stuff, and just kind of do some things like we do them in Mongolia. Remind you of Mongolia so that you don't forget about us. Instead of me droning on and on and on about pictures of greenhouses and cold winter days. So, okay. So wear sports kind of clothing, and I need some assistance. I need a few people to bring some brooms. I need 8 or 10 brooms. So I don't know if each family can bring one, or if we want to take volunteers. Who has just a regular household broom, not a great big dust mop, not just a regular household broom? I need, you got one? Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the back, 6, 7, I think I saw 2 at Jerry's, on the back porch. I have an eye for brooms. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I think we had about 8 hands. So bring a broom along for one of our games. It shouldn't get damaged or dirty. So 6:30, look forward to seeing you then. Thank you so much.